Did I see what I just thought I saw?
And the crazy thing is, Utah's not going crazy over this travel.
Yeah, that was.
It's so normal now. I would be. It's so normal now.
No, no, Candace, we haven't seen that. He did a double step back.
James Harden does that.
No, he does. I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen it.
He does the running man backwards.
I haven't seen that one.
He does the running man backwards.
I'm not gonna go with you on that one.
Basket Buds on the Back-to-Back Podcast on the Captain Things Network on the internet. I'm Zach Harper. We've got Tom Haverstrow in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Indeed.
Oh, boy. Not even traveling this time. What a treat. We have Dave DeFore in San Antone.
For now, yes.
For now? Okay. He may go somewhere else at some point.
I'm going to leave while we're on the pod.
In the city of San Francisco, we have Anthony Mays.
Frisco. Yo. No.
Not in Texas. And at some point, we may have from beautiful Los Angeles, I think Los Angeles because they're here, Jovan Buha of The Athletic. We also have Jade Hoy in Connecticut. Bloomfield.
Hello.
You in Bloomfield?
Bloomfield.
What do you call it in the winter when there are no flowers? Still called Bloomfield?
Gloomfield.
Gloomfield. I like Gloomfield.
Gloomfield. No, I don't want to do that. Hey, the other day I came up with this idea. Someone needs to invent windows that portray the outside as being beautiful spring-like, you know?
So they did that.
You just in the future, too. You just invented a poster.
I want that for my house. Okay. It's or my office here. Oh, that's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Actually, you know, those really thin LED TVs, they're starting to do that in offices that don't have a view. They'll just put up like a scene. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay. I'm into that. Tom, where are you going? Where's your next flight taking you?
I think I'm actually driving the mountains this weekend.
Oh, okay. How far is that?
I'm planning to get on the whole Steph Curry thing because the whole Charlotte, like people in Charlotte just get free rides to the moon.
Yeah. We're not doing any moon talk this week. I'll tell you that. We did plenty of that on Friday.
Oh, I must have been traveling. I
must have been traveling. You know who else was traveling? James Harden.
To the moon.
Check 1-2. Check 1-2.
Oh, yeah. There's that voice. Jovan Buha, The Athletic, covers the Clippers. What's going on, buddy?
You're welcome, people. By the way, give the gift of The Athletic with our promo code, theathletic.com/back2back for 40% off.
Keep me employed. Keep Jovan employed.
Yep.
Yeah. Get that. Get some great basketball coverage. The best basketball coverage, I'd say.
I would agree.
Tied with NBC. Right, Tom? All right.
Tied? Okay.
You know, I was being generous, buddy, because we got a volume situation here. Okay. We got a volume situation. We got a lot more content than you're cranking out.
I got a big number coming tomorrow, thanks to Jade.
We got big numbers every day. And the numbers is our writing staff. Big number.
Oh, yes.
Got 1,000 people on this writing staff.
Today is Rockets 102-97, thanks to a 10-foot step back by James.
Yeah, Harden. That's the big number. 10. I mean, my goodness. All right. Dave, on the Daily Ding a little bit of like, one, I think most fans don't know what a travel is, right? And a lot of that has to do with the gather step. Two, absolutely. I'm like Dave. I'm a little liberal with this stuff because, like, you know what? If it's close enough, it's kind of like the double play turn in baseball, right?
Right.
Close enough to the bag, you know, that's an out. But three, holy shit, that was a travel.
Yeah.
Big time. I mean, he took 5 steps. Legitimately took 5 steps on that step back. And I don't think look, we can be honest. Like, the way the Jazz were executing late in that game, they weren't going to tie that thing up or win it anyway. So I don't really think it affected the ultimate outcome of it. But, oh, my God. And here's the bad thing, too. And, Tom, we can start with you. Like, I think it ruined the night that James Harden had because he was ridiculous last night.
Well, that's the whole thing about James Harden is he puts up 50 points, 60 points, and then there's this secondary conversation around him of just he kind of bums people out with the way that he offensively draws fouls, and some people think flops to get fouls. And then secondly, with the step back, he's been mocked endlessly online by B-Dot with his step back, which is a great side-by-side that Rob Perez put out, Worldwide Wob. But the thing is, it's less offensive, I think, the step back, because you're trying to get further away from the basket. It's not like the travel where you're trying to get closer to the rim or like you're trying to get around defenders. It seems – I feel like people are less – outraged when you're taking a step back to get way behind the line. And I think in this case, it was like a ballet dance. It was like a choreographed like step back to get behind the line. But I think like it is a travel. It should be a travel. And I've been waiting for the official NBA ref feed to chime in on this one, because what are you going to do? This is the thing. If you're going to go hard on Chris Webber when he gets something wrong, what about instances like this where you have to just be silent?
Yeah.
You know, well, you're going to come out and be very public and be in part of the NBA conversation when there are referee controversies. It seems opportunistic to just sit this out when it's egregious.
Feels like this is a great opportunity for them to just double down and say it wasn't a travel.
Can't. I mean, how?
You'd be great. No, this is the way, is if they edited the video to take out two of the steps.
Oh, yeah.
If they just cut it out and just let it, and it jumps all of a sudden.
Get the guy who did the White House video to speed it up or whatever he did. James Harden, he like dropped back to pass like he was an NFL quarterback. It was very impressive that he got away with it. I mean, I'm not even mad.
So the other thing is the ripple effect of this. If James Harden can get away with this, then everyone else in the league is going to try to keep doing this. And LeBron's doing it now, the step back three. And so that's the problem with letting this go, is that it sends the message to everyone else in the NBA like, hey, if you want to do this, go for it, because James Harden, the MVP, is getting away with it. So you can too.
But the overwhelming majority of Harden step backs are not travels. He has gotten so good at that gather. I mean, that ball, he doesn't stop the ball usually like he did last night, where he grabbed the ball with two hands last night and then took 17 steps.
How many did anyone actually count the steps? Like how many there were, actually?
There were three.
No, there's four. There's four steps.
They might have been four.
No, they're definitely four. He did two step backs.
It's impressive.
Texas two step back.
Yovan, what's to stop Lou Williams from doing this? Lou Williams got a good step back.
Well, he's injured right now, so that's what's stopping him.
Okay, but, well, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Let's pretend he didn't die from this injury. What's to stop?
I mean, Lou has done stuff like that, not to that extent, but you know, the refereeing stuff this season's been really interesting. Like, I don't know if you guys saw Trez last night.
That was a terrible flagrant foul.
Yeah, that was horrible.
They ejected him for that. That was terrible.
Yeah, and what was weird is that they had like the exact same play happen in Phoenix a few games ago, where Gallo struck someone and he got a flagrant one. But for him to get ejected for that, that was just I thought that was a little ridiculous.
It seemed too like at the end of that game last night, the Blazers-Clippers game, that like the Clippers just were beyond frustrated with the fouls. Like Patrick Beverley was. Yeah, Patrick Beverley complains to the refs a lot, or I don't know, complains. He discusses things with the refs a lot.
Yeah.
Even more last night, he was discussing a lot. And then Gallo, the no call on the Gallo. Like, here's the problem I have with the no call on the Gallo is people were saying, well, yeah, he hooked Aminu's arm, and that's why, you know, that's why it looks so bad. It's like, that's right, but Aminu was reaching in. He was reaching across his body. So whether he hooks the arm or not, like, the foul is still already there.
Yeah, I thought that was a foul.
And so – did Doc say anything? I mean, I would figure like Doc's every eight games, Doc is like, I'll take a fine.
Doc made the sideline.
It's gotta be a foul.
he actually started his presser with that. He was like, because he came out pretty late, probably like 10 to 15 minutes later than he normally does. And he was like, sorry, I was on the phone with the league telling them I'm about to get fined at this presser. and he went into his statements and stuff. But Yeah, no, the Clippers are going through some things right now, losing four in a row.
Is the, what do you ascribe that to?
Yeah, are they pumpkins? Are they turn back into pumpkins?
I think they're pumpkins.
No.
Well, I think it. I'm actually writing something that's going to be coming out later today, but I think a lot of it's just regression to the mean. I thought defensively, like, if you just look at the makeup of this roster, I don't think they're anywhere close to a top 10 defense. Last year they were 19th, and you know they haven't really added anything significant besides like Avery Bradley and Pat Beverly healthy, and I think those two guys probably have better defensive reputations than they actually are capable defensively.
Hasn't the team fallen off a cliff offensively with those two on the court together?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, here's my little mini number. Avery Bradley is actually.
Wait, hold on, Jovan. No, we're at the Athletic. We have the biggest number.
All right,
the biggest number, Tom.
The biggest number is Avery Bradley is actually last in the NBA right now in offensive RPM. At minus 3.65. So that's out of 455 players. Avery Bradley has been the worst according to, offensive RPM.
How can the biggest number be so low?
So I think the Clippers have a backcourt problem right now where, Avery Bradley and Patrick Beverley have basically been unplayable offensively. Their true shooting percentages are terrible. But defensively, Doc loves leaning on them. On the offensive side, like Lou Williams, Milos Teodosic have been so impactful offensively, but then neither one could guard anybody. Teams target them in the pick and roll and pin downs and stuff like that. So they have this really weird dynamic where, they are a really deep team, but so many of their guys are one-way guys with a liability on one end that for Doc, it seems like he just has had struggles trying to figure out what's the best lineups, how do I balance offense and defense. And, I think he kind of suggested last night they might have to mix up the starting lineup. To me, it would probably make sense to take out Gortat or Avery Bradley, if not both. Just the issue is I don't know who you put in because, Boban, but Boban can only play like,
yeah,
Boban has a minute, not a minutes restriction, but there's kind of diminishing returns after a certain point of playing Boban. And then with the backcourt, it's like you can't really start Lou because he's your sixth man. He's not even healthy right now. Pat has been just as bad as Avery offensively. I think you might have to honestly look at like a guy like maybe Tyrone Wallace or even Sendarius Thornwell just to kind of mix it up, go with a bigger guy. Because
they played Ty last night.
Ty's played well. I think it might be Ty. I just don't really know what you do because it is kind of an offense defense thing. But honestly, Avery's defense, looking at it right now, he's been a minus in defensive RPM. So it's not like Avery is I think Doc a couple games ago said he's the best on ball defender he's ever seen, which I couldn't believe that he said that. Like, I mean, I guess
he also said that DeAndre Jordan was the next Will Chamberlain too.
Bill Russell, right?
It might have been Bill Russell.
He loves Avery Bradley.
I forget which all-time great he was comparing to DeAndre Jordan.
It was Russell, yeah. So, I mean, I guess Doc loves hyperbole, but I think it's costing them. And Avery Bradley's been not a good player this season, so I think they're going to have to rejigger that.
So what's the I'll throw this to – let's start with Dave. Like, what's more likely, that the Clippers slide is who they are or that the Rockets streak is win streak is who they are?
Oh, I'd say that the Rockets win streak is who they are. I think that they're actually starting to figure out how to play.
I completely disagree.
Oh, see, no.
I think this team sucks right now, and James Harden's just on another level.
Well, right. That's what I mean. I think that they're figuring out, we can't do what we did last year. We can't count on Chris Paul to be, what he was doing last year during the regular season. We don't have the horses,
Chris
they
Paul
don't have
was
a
more
reason.
Productive. Chris Paul was more productive during game 6 and 7 of the Western Conference Finals than he is right now.
It's been brutal. And this is one of those things where I think the Rockets, I mean, we're going to see them extremely active anyway, because that's what Daryl Morey does. And he's super creative, but this is where they really have to ask themselves, do we go out and try to get another guard who can supplant some of those minutes from Chris Paul? Because he's actually hurting them when he's on the court.
Hey, who's
like,
available? Who's
like
out
Austin Rivers?
Yeah. What if they got like middle management version of MCW?
You know? Hey, what about
that's a huge upgrade. Austin Rivers can actually play a little.
He's Diet Eric Gordon.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. What about a guy for the Atlanta Hawks? A reunion of sorts.
I don't think Dwayne Dedman playing the point is the answer.
You mean Jeremy Lin?
Jeremy Lin?
Yeah, I think that's he's an interesting guy, and it works because they can send the night deal and a pick. But I don't know. Is that? I mean, could we get Lin's Sanity 2.0?
Exciting at all, dude?
But
actually, I think Lin would help them quite a bit. I know what they want.
Get hurt.
Well, what they wanted was Ariza.
Well, they didn't want him that much because they didn't give him $15 million a year. They offered him $15 million over 3 years.
Did we ever get the story on that? Was this like an ownership call? I have
the story.
What was that?
I have the story.
Oh. Yeah. Breaking news. Can we get some breaking news music?
This is out there, Tom, right? Like,
it's broken news.
This was the owner saying no, and then Daryl Morey had to just like kind of fall on the sword. And like, because you're not going to kill the owners, right?
Well, also look at December 14th, Chris Paul tweeted SMH. Do you know what that was? That was when Trevor Ariza was first traded, right? For a Brooks, one of the Brookses.
I thought you were talking about the new episode of 90 Day Fiancé, which is sweeping the nation.
I hear that Marshawn Brooks is available.
Yeah, very available. I think the Trevor Ariza thing is fascinating because the Lakers apparently wanted Trevor Ariza, but Robert Sarver refused to trade him to the Lakers after what happened with Tyson Chandler. And then it is still possible that Ariza can get traded to the Lakers. like if you're the Wizards, you're like, oh, if we don't like 33-year-old Trevor Ariza, we can just flip him to the Lakers and maybe get KCP out of this.
Yeah, what is that? They have to wait 30 days or something like that?
No, they can trade him as long as it's straight up.
Oh, straight up. That's right.
They can only trade him.
Right. Yeah,
he can't be aggregated.
Aggregated. So the Rockets are in a tough spot, and Chris Paul right now, it looks like he's either washing up. I wouldn't say he's washed up.
Oh, or he's just soaked. You kidding me?
Or he's just in, like, I have to preserve my body, so I'm just going to play in second gear and hope that I'm healthy in April.
We've seen him in second gear.
Hold on. Yeah. He's so washed. He's in prune mode right now. Come on now.
We've seen him in second 40%. Gear before, though. Yeah, this isn't second gear. This is something else. I wonder if maybe he's still having lingering effects from the hamstring. They do take a while to heal.
Does the hamstring affect your free throw stroke?
It can. I mean, it can affect your lower back, everything.
I don't know that.
But I think what's most likely is that just like almost every player who's come through the league, when you start to get old, you just can't do it anymore.
Well, and not just any player, guards. Dave. It's small guard thing. A small guard thing.
You just don't have anything else to go to. And the thing is, he still has moments, and he can still, you know, do things with the ball, like and pass guys open and stuff like that. But you know, he doesn't have that. I don't know whatever that thing was Chris Paul had. It just isn't there right now.
I think Big Waz would advocate for him. Maybe taking some of the stuff that other athletes in the past have taken.
Take a flight to Germany, maybe?
Allegedly.
Rejuvenate themselves. Allegedly, right. Just a little he got healthy action, right?
Protein shake.
Yeah, a little protein shake. A little he got healthy.
But the biggest – so, I mean, I was looking at what the Rockets have done.
Talk about HGH, Tom.
SMHGH.
He got healthy, yeah.
So they're on a 4-game win streak, which, you know, is great because they lost 3 games right before that. They beat the Blazers, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, and the Jazz, all like in contention for the playoffs.
Quality opponents, yeah.
Exactly. And their offensive rating in the last 4 games has been 4th in the league at 115, and their net rating is 8. They're at 0 net rating for the year now. They were negative. So that's a big deal, man. So they're starting to turn it around a little bit, but their pace in the last 4 games was at 96, which is right next to the San Antonio Spurs. So they are clearly leaning in hard to the Harden's going to dribble the ball and do stuff. I mean, he's averaging, what, 43 points a game in the last three games?
Yeah, 40 points over the last four. Yeah.
And this is, I think, who they're going to be until they get some help. I mean, Eric Gordon's no help right now.
Yeah, Eric Gordon's just bad.
It's rough. They had two guys just fall off a cliff. And, I mean, that's not even talking about Clint Capella's defense and where that's gone.
Yeah, I don't really blame Capella, though, because, like, yeah. I don't, like, look, he's not defending well, especially by the standard he set last season. But everything in front of him is such a mess. Like, he's not a superhero.
Yeah, he's not, like, a dominant defensive player. Like, he was just a good cog in the system last year, and now the system has collapsed around him. So
it's yeah,
not like
it reminds
he's going to clean it up by himself.
It reminds me a little bit of, Jovan, I wonder if you agree with this, like, I don't think DeAndre Jordan was ever a really good defensive player, but when he had good defense in front of him, then he looked like a star defender.
100%. Like last season, for anyone who watched him on the Clippers, and now you're kind of seeing the same thing with Dallas. You know, he tends to dog it sometimes defensively, and if he's not around a good defensive team, I do think he kind of, you know, tends to check out. Doesn't really protect the rim. He'd have these random plays where someone, you know, drives towards the rim and he just kind of gets out the way, which doesn't really make sense for someone 7 foot as athletic as him. So I definitely agree with you there on that front.
And he's actually having like his best season just because his minutes are finally up because his conditioning is better. So he's up to like almost 34 minutes a game. And everything else across all his numbers across the board have gone up. So, you know, his defense not being dominant is more a product of the team than anything else.
So is there a point in the season in which you guys just give up on the Rockets?
Yeah, about three weeks ago.
I mean,
define give up. Like, right. They're not going to win the title.
I think that seems to be obvious, but I just, as far as like, you know, make the conference finals or even maybe even make like the semifinals.
I think they could be a frisky second round playoff team. And like, I'd like to see like a Lakers Rockets series. I think that'd be interesting.
I am expecting a Warriors Thunder conference finals.
That's what I expect.
I think the Thunder are absolutely the second best team in the West.
You don't think it matters draw at all?
I don't think you can draw in the, I think it's just in soccer.
Well, it's a weird heel turn by Zach to not believe that the Nuggets are going to be winning the whole thing. That's weird.
They're super good.
I'm with Zach. My expectation is that the Thunder are really the second best team in the West and that they'll make the conference finals. But the more I sit and think about it, the more I can see the path for the Lakers to actually get there, because LeBron is LeBron. And if they get favorable matchups, you know, well, I mean, it's very much in play for them, I think.
Yeah, look,
they're LeBron, way better than I expect.
LeBron can still just, yeah, LeBron it out and get and drag that team to the conference finals. The difference for me is neither team can shoot between the Thunder and the Lakers.
Right.
But the Thunder are the best defensive team in basketball. So to me, that's the equalizer. Now you could just say, yeah, but yeah, the Lakers have LeBron. Fifth.
Right.
And if that's where you decide to go with that, like, I can't really argue that, right? Like, I'm going to go, well, Russell Westbrook's going to carry. Like, no, like, LeBron's going to win that matchup every time. And that's not a knock on Westbrook. That's just LeBron's that good. But I believe in the Thunder defense more than I believe in anything else in the West right now outside of the Warriors.
Can I just say, I went to the game on Saturday, the Lakers were in town, and LeBron was making himself giggle in layup lines at how high he was jumping on these dunks. He was tossing the ball up so high in the air, it almost hit the Jumbotron, and he made the double bounce alley-oop, like self alley-oop, yeah, double bounce. And then he would put it through his legs and dunk it, and it was like everyone in the gym couldn't even say anything. It was ridiculous. And he was laughing on the way back to the layup line where he's like, how do I do it? I don't know. I don't know how I do it. And then they proceeded. It's the he, I don't know. What did you call it?
He got healthy.
Yeah, he got healthy. No. So then they proceeded to just run all over the Hornets, where it looked like the Hornets had just taken like Dramamine beforehand. They were a disaster. And Lonzo Ball and LeBron were just running all over them. They looked awesome. And so if Lonzo's healthy And if Rondo isn't stealing his minutes and Josh Hart and Kuzma are running with LeBron, that's great. But I still think I agree with you that OKC still has the defensive bona fide, a two-way juggernaut, whereas I think the Lakers are just super athletic, super young, and they're going to outscore you a couple games, but I don't trust that defense.
Tom, cool. So you were at the game. Would you attribute Lonzo's defense to Kemba's bad shooting night, or was it just an off night for Kemba?
Lonzo was awesome. Kemba, however, has been in a cold spell, I should say.
Kemba's looking like Bobcat Kemba out there right now.
I know. But you know what? It's okay. The East is so bad, like the middle of the pack. There's only five teams in the East that are over 500 right now.
I feel like he needs a game or two off.
Yeah, definitely. So since – Tom, I got some big numbers for you right here.
I'm Tom Haberstroh, and you're watching The Big Number. Jade, what's going on here?
Since Kemba went for 60 and 43 in back-to-back games – he is at in the 13 games since that two-game stretch. He's averaging 19 points, and he's shooting 35% from the field, 27% from three, and 79% from the line. That's bad. That's not even like Bobcat Kemba. That's like Denver Moutier.
I blame. Oh,
what's
Zach
up, Lund. Ethan?
Oh, Ethan. Yeah, hey, I see Ethan. You. Fully clothed.
Why
God.
Are you on video? What is happening?
I love it.
I didn't expect to be on video.
Good thing you have clothes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, there's Asher.
Oh, Ash.
Oh, yeah. For those who can't tell, because this is an audio podcast, Ethan has come on the podcast. He's got a microphone in one hand. He's got his child in another, and he's got the video on.
I didn't mean to have the video on.
Why is he so calm? He's just serene.
Yeah, this baby is real calm.
That's a good baby.
Oh, right now he is. Last night, not so much.
Thought he was in daycare.
Ethan, who's gonna lose in five games to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals this year?
You know, Nate Duncan had the hottest take when he said the Lakers. I don't think it will be the Lakers. Man, I can't come up with anybody. I mean, Thunder have this amazing defense, but Westbrook just looks so off scoring wise that it's hard to place any faith. Do I really think the Nuggets are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals? Is it okay to just say, can I wait and see? Is it okay to say, I don't know? Is that acceptable?
Asher is pushing the microphone away from Ethan. So I think we've found a
he's
new
also
producer.
Got these little marks right here, and I don't know what these are. I hope that CPS isn't going to be called.
What animal is that on his shirt? What's going on there? What's that look like? It looks like a blueberry with eyes from this.
This is a blue monster.
Is it the Monsters, Inc. monster, kind of? Or Where the Wild Things Are monster?
Knockoff of the Monsters, Inc. monster?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a Where the Wild Things Are sort of deal. So this week is the winter vacation for – look at the competition over here. We've got Zach Harper holding Boogie, who's being a good
and
boy.
And Asher's currently. All – Asher, for the first time, looked at the screen like, what? Yeah. What?
Asher looks at the screen. I feel like Boogie's drooling more than Asher is. So
this week, nobody cares. Here's the thing. I know nobody cares. Nobody cares about the kids stuff. But the reason this is happening is because this is the winter vacation for the daycare. So it's daddy daycare currently as I try to manage everything else. And it has been so far the kid is OK, but I am not. I think it's the update.
Ethan, tell me about how great fatherhood is.
And, you know, it actually is great. It's actually fantastic. And I think a lot of parents just like to – not always, but a lot of parents like to play up how stressful it is and how tough it is just so we get more credit and we seem like bigger heroes than we are. It's not bad. I just a little help over here would be nice is all I'm saying. But
Wait, did you just say that it's not so bad but yet I need more help?
Well, right now I'm on an island.
Did you raise your voice so Allie could hear you? Is that what the deal was there?
Allie's at
when
work.
I need Allie is, help.
Allie is
Allie's
sick.
At work. She can't hear me, but I'm going to still bitch.
My wife is a master at passive aggressiveness. Oh my God.
Whoa, Jade, we got a baby on the podcast. All right. I swear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. He doesn't have the headphones in. I really wonder if he thinks his dad's crazy and just talks to himself a lot.
Put the headphones on. I'll be Santa. You know Santa yet? Oh, he's Jewish. He doesn't do Santa.
Like, though, so our daycare is run by, I think, Mexican ladies. I don't know what. I'm not sure.
Here we go.
Oh, profiling. No. Yeah, profiling. Somewhere south of the border. And they're not very woke about the happy holiday stuff. And they did this impromptu photo shoot where he's wearing all the Santa hats and Christmas stuff. And they just think we're Christian. And I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything.
They think you're Christian. You think they're Mexican. It's all right. Good.
It's all just one big assumption.
Aren't we at the point where Santa is just kind of irreligious? Like,
of course little, he is.
I think a little bit. But it's also that if they think that he's Christian and they think that we're big on the – just huge on the Christmas, A, we liked the photo shoot. And B, I just don't feel a need to go, oh, he's not celebrating that. That's not what he's – just let him think it. You know, it's yeah. Cool. Ever let him think it.
I think the world might be a better place if more people had that attitude.
Yeah, I guess that's not good for getting attention on Twitter. Maybe I don't know. But before I have to put him down for his nap, Jade, I got the sound that we need for the thing that we're going to do for the next big House of Strauss I'm doing with Allie. I think I got a lot of good sound last night. I'll have to listen to it and see. But I think I got a lot of good stuff. So that's just a tease.
Wait, she went with you to the game?
No. This is the thing where I'm going to Oracle and I'm showing her as a device for the podcast. What is a day of work like or a night of work?
So because, I thought you were actually going to take her.
Oh, no. Wouldn't do that. Gotcha. Although people it's funny. They destroyed the conceit for the podcast where I go, because I can't take her to work. I'm doing this and interviewing you. And they go, you can take her to work.
No, because the daycare is not open that late.
Yeah, they're not exactly. I can't really. I mean, we would have to
just get Nate Duncan to look after him.
I just imagine Nate just palming the child's head like a basketball, and that's how he carries a baby around.
Drop mom at the cat palace.
I was going to say the cat could always, you know, the cat can watch the baby. Baby, watch the cat.
Are we calling Danny LaRue the cat now?
I love it. Oh, what a great nickname,
Le Chat.
Danny the Cat LaRue.
Oh, it sounds like a great hockey player.
From last night, there's LaRue sound from the media room. There's definitely some LaRue sound. One of the best last names in all of NBA media. Okay. Just a great last name. And so we'll see about it. I think we can turn it into something. We have Andre Iguodala being weird. We got Steve Kerr answering questions while eating a cookie. You see that shot he took at Caspi last night? Woo! Did anybody see that?
Or is
that
made up? What did he say?
Nobody watched Warriors Grizzlies.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I just saw Klay Thompson celebrate the miss from Caspi at the end. That's all I saw.
Klay has been doing this thing where he puts a hoodie on in his interviews and says "Hoodie Klay" because he hates the interviews so much, and I guess he thinks that wearing a hoodie will somehow make it better. I don't. He's never really connected to thoughts.
Melo did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, for basketball skills, I don't understand what he's going for, but he's going for something. I don't know. Warriors, they beat the Grizzlies by a lot, and what else was going to happen?
There
was
we have Jovan Buha on the podcast right now, so it's a real athletic gathering. Who's the bigger pumpkin, the Grizzlies or the Clippers?
Ooh, yeah. What's up, man? I was texting Buha about this, having him explain to me what went wrong with the Clippers. But let us recapitulate.
I think it's the Grizzlies.
I think it's the Grizzlies too.
But yeah, I mean, as I was talking to Ethan about, like, you know, a couple other things with the Clippers lately is teams have been defending Tobias Harris a little bit differently. They've been double teaming him a lot, blitzing him a lot, forcing him to try and make reads. And, you know, while he's gotten better at playmaking, that's not really a strength of his right now. So Tobias's turnovers have increased by like almost 50% this month. And then Trez, you know, he's had a couple of good games in a row now, but before that he was going through a really rough patch where teams were just kind of collapsing on him in the paint. You kind of know when Trez gets the ball what he's going to do at this point. He has that little runner, little hook shot. And I think teams have really been keying in on Trez and Tobias as kind of the two fulcrums of the Clippers offense. So I think teams have really kind of prevented those two from going off lately. And that's what's kind of helped the offense collapse, as well as Lou also being out.
I'm going to disagree with you guys. I think that the Grizzlies are a little bit more legit because their defense is real.
That's
now,
fair.
Now, the one question mark is going to be health for them forever. I mean, Conley just missed his first game. So if Conley can stay healthy,
and that's where it begins, Dave.
I know
the Grizzlies are plus 5.5 with Conley on the floor, and they're minus 9.8 with Conley on the bench.
100%. That is the issue. And so if he can,
they could use Austin Rivers.
Oh,
you know,
Dylan Brooks.
By the way, are we all in agreement here that Austin is not nearly as bad as people think he is?
He's fine.
Okay,
yeah, he's fine. Like he's
want to make sure
he's a rotation guard.
Right. His issues are that I think teams have asked him to do the wrong stuff. Like he's way better without the ball.
And by teams.
Well, he's a two guard. He's exactly. Not really a point guard, which is probably part of the, I mean, actually, never mind. It could be part of the reason why Phoenix let him go. Right. He's not a real point guard, but.
Well, I think he would actually help them. I think that's.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Phoenix.
Phoenix went into the season going, we're going to be competitive. And then they've been this shit show. Earmuffs that for Asher. They're gonna be this shit show. Oh, Asher's gone.
They now have 30
the baby away. And now they've realized like, oh, we should keep tanking for like Zion or something or RJ Barrett or something. And so now they're just like, oh, this guy can help us? No. No, thank
you. The Suns now have $33 million in dead money on their books this year.
That's the dream.
Is that Tyson and Austin?
Yeah, and then I think they've got something else.
But yeah, they looked up at the standings. They saw the Hawks are one win behind them, and they can't stand for that. So,
hey Tom, I have a big number.
I'm Tom Haberstroh, and you're watching the big number.
If okay. you're interested in it,
yep, okay. yep.
Here we go.
I'll be judging it. Yep, go ahead.
Right. Margin to juice.
The big number is 5.3. Can you guess what that is? Nope. Okay. 5.3 is the amount of dollars in millions that the Detroit Pistons are paying Josh Smith this year and then again next year.
Oh, it's glorious. That is a large number.
Yeah, that's my favorite stat of the season still.
I wish he could like convert it to a Bobby Bonilla type deal where they just pay him $1 million a year for the next 20. God.
Amazing.
I mean, it's amazing that they've been able to win at least one game. They won a couple days ago without Ish Smith.
Yeah, I mean, really, like wow. That shows you, you know, sometimes a team can come together when their best player falls, right? I know, you know, Simmons calls it the Ewing theory, but really it's the Ish Smith tribute where they came together.
Ish don't think so theory. Yeah.
They tried to channel their inner Ish Smith to just win that game in order to say like, hey, buddy, we're here for you. We miss you. Please.
I mean, they're 13-9 when he plays and 1-5 when he doesn't. I mean, it just says it right there. And a lot of people are talking about LeBron or Steph or KD, Giannis, MVP, but come on.
Right.
I mean, he just sets the table for everybody.
Can we just pool our money and get the Pistons a good point guard? They have a good backup.
They do. They have Ish. Yes. Ish Smith. A pure point guard. Dave, pure.
Yes, pure.
Are we
yes.
still calling guys pure point guards when they can't?
It's like a shortstop that can't hit.
Yeah, I did a hit last night where they asked me, is James Harden the best pure scorer in the league? And I was like, what does that mean? What does pure scorer mean?
Maybe just a guy who only scores.
Wait, but that's not but James Harden.
That's not what like he does.
7-8 assists, yeah.
I was like, I mean.
Pure doesn't mean anything. That's where
pure just means like that's all he does. In my book, he's not tainted by things like playing defense or
pure,
you know.
Pure really means I don't know what I'm talking about.
Hold on, what's the other version of a score? Is it a filtered score? Is
that diversified?
Brita? Is this a shot at Steph Curry because he's sponsored by Brita?
It's cut with some defense.
Cut with some defense.
What?
Think about
that's
it.
A drug reference.
It's like Breaking Bad, 96%.
Yeah, right. 96%
nothing score, is truly right? pure.
But yeah, the truth is when someone calls someone a pure something, I think it's just because they don't quite understand what they're saying. Yeah.
It really is, and that's why LeBron.
But then they use it the other way too.
Do we have pure defenders?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, it's Andre Robertson. Yeah.
Tony Allen.
Is Kawhi Leonard allowed to be a pure defender because he can score?
No.
Why is plus minus? It'd be Avery Bradley.
Right. I was pure defender. It's shocking that Doc Rivers reunited with Avery Bradley after the Tony Allen thing. So here's a small number. You guys want to hear a small number?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So far this season, the Portland Trailblazers, when Nick Stauskas is on the floor, is at a minus 132. Okay. The next lowest number on the Blazers is minus 42.
Woo. Woo.
That's so impressive.
Myers Leonard is the second worst plus minus on the Blazers at minus 42. And Sauce Castillo is at minus 132. 90 points worse than the next worst guy on his own team. I feel like what happened there was he had a great first game and they're just like, man, I've got to play him, I guess, because he did it in opening night against LeBron.
It's Michael Carter Williams' rookie year.
That's not a bad comp.
Yep. He has that game against the Heat and then he's the rookie of the year.
Yeah. That's a small number because it's negative, right? It's a small number. It's a large number, but it's a
large integer.
That team is rough. Zach and I talked about it on the Daily Ding, which you can subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts. We talked about the fact that they are a lottery team without Damian Lillard.
Oh boy.
No, I agree with that.
There's this false idea that you can just stagger Dame and CJ and it works. It doesn't.
They're so bad when Dame's off the floor and CJ's on. They're so bad.
They might be a lottery team with Dame Lillard.
That's true.
Someone had to say it.
That's true.
God damn it. Thank you for taking a stand. The team sucks. Hey, guys.
The team sucks?
Guys.
Wait, Zach, can't
he's
jump
so
on
disgusted.
Give the gift of the Athletic this year, guys.
Yeah, that's what doesn't suck.
You want to do something right for someone. Do that. You know, forget all the stuff that's coming over in the boats.
It's the best
plastic. You don't want to buy plastic. Yeah. It's bad for the environment. Stop with the buying stuff. Give something intelligent to people.
Yeah.
Right?
I hear they've got the best power rankings on the internet. That's the word on the street.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that does that for them?
I don't know, man. I mean, he sounds sexy.
That's the athletic.com/back2back, and you'll get 40% off. Great gift, guys. I'd give it to my wife. You know what I'm saying?
Jovan's right, though. It's a great stocking stuffer. Throw it right in there. Do we have virtual stockings yet? Is that a thing?
Oh, I guarantee not yet. Like a Tamagotchi.
By the way, let's. Whoa, what happened to our live look into Ethan's room? Oh, man, it's gone.
I don't know. He had bottles in his hand, so.
I think the kid is too young to drink.
What else we got?
Hey,
we got another kid. By the way, Sadie wants to come onto the pod, so.
It's a Christmas miracle.
So we got Madeline. Can you say hi? You say hi?
Little number.
You say I like hi? The little boot.
Number, dude. She's getting up there.
She's just like waving. She doesn't know how to say hi. She just likes to wave hi. By the way, if you guys also have some free time, go check out Pack Your Knives podcast that Kevin Arnovitz and I do.
Oh, my mom.
We recap Top Chef on Bravo Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Watch Bravo. Listen to our podcast. It is a lot of fun. My fantasy team is losing right now. Kevin's chefs are incredible. I lost my number one pick. It's really depressing.
That's right.
But go listen to Pack Your Knives wherever you listen to podcasts and hang out with me and Kevin as we talk food and recap the best food show on TV.
It's good right? if you don't watch. It's actually a good pod even if you don't watch the show. But
yeah. No, my mom specifically asked. She's like, hey, is there a new season of Pack Your Knives? Because I'm watching Top Chef. I said, absolutely. Send her the link. Couldn't be happier. How about that?
Word to your moms.
Put some sound effects in this.
Hey! What's up, Dave Dove? What's your dog's name?
What the hell is going on here? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, this is maybe my French bulldog. She actually will talk into the mic.
That's a Star Wars sound effect right there.
The wheels on the bus.
How about the Muffin Man? Does she know Muffin Man?
No, she doesn't know. She's a little starstruck right now seeing Dave's dog. Yeah. Hey, can you say wheels on the
bus?
Man, she doesn't have a future in broadcasting. I'll tell you that right now.
That's all right. I was shy for a long time, Tom.
No, yeah. I appreciate, you know, kids that don't
talk.
No. They're not here to be patronized. Hey. You know what I mean?
So I'm talking softly because Asher's taking a nap, but I want to ask a question to Dave and Zach in my MBR voice, which is yes.
Go ahead.
Would you be offended if somebody said that French bulldogs are ugly cute? Is that something that would offend you?
Or that's absolutely 100% true.
Yeah, people. So I go to the dog parks a lot now.
People say that
to
me all the time.
I always say like my dog is either the ugliest cute dog or the cutest ugly dog, and right. I can't figure out which one it is. And people say, "Oh, he's not ugly." I was like, "Yes, he is. He's ugly, like in a cute way, but it's ugly."
They're adorable. They have these huge heads and giant ears, which is objectively cute, but also their faces are smushed.
Yeah, you know they can't have sex on their own.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, they have to be artificially inseminated.
They're artificially inseminated. Their body structure doesn't allow.
I thought you just meant that they couldn't jerk off, but you know, you continue.
No, they. All right. Well, hold on. I'll save.
Even Madeline is right here.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. I didn't know she was listening. I'm sorry.
But she actually knows you, so it's a little different.
Puppies are born via C-section.
How has this dog made it this far?
Well, look at it. It's a freak of nature.
Made it this far?
Oh, made it? Yeah, that's like, good.
This seems like they should have Darwinized themselves out of existence. Like,
well, they didn't exist until we Darwinized them into.
Oh, we Darwinized them in. Yeah. This is a creative. Yeah, it's not
like these were roaming the prairies somewhere wild and we decided to domesticate it.
They're evolutionary advantage is just that a smarter creature finds them so adorable.
Exactly.
But I'm fascinated by this strange nexus of ugly and cute and how it can coexist, because theoretically
doesn't work for people.
It doesn't work for people. Well, here's a good question then. This is getting far from basketball. Is there somebody out there who is ugly cute? Is there a celebrity who's ugly? I don't want to get into our business, but you know, an ugly cute celebrity. I think we'll put that out to the audience, to the listeners, if anybody can come up with them.
I mean, I would put JaVale in that conversation. Like, I have a female friend who thinks that he's attractive, but he also kind of just looks like a troll doll.
What about Clint Howard?
No, he's just ugly.
Billy Bob Thornton.
No, he's good looking.
That's just like sex appeal.
Billy Bob's a good looking dude. I've seen him in person. Yeah, man. I've seen him in person. That dude.
I agree.
Would you wear a vial of his blood around your neck, Zach?
I mean, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes Jay-Z. I don't know.
I got one. What about the character actor Louis Guzman? Or Luis Guzman?
No, he's
ugly. He's just cute, I think.
No, Luis Guzman?
Yeah.
I mean, does personality count?
No, it doesn't.
Steve Buscemi.
He is the size. Steve Buscemi's ugly.
Well, let me just go down the cast. Let's go to another Boogie Nights cast member.
Wait, hold on. Luis Guzman is like the actual size of one of those giant teddy bears win at the fair.
Yeah.
Like, they have the exact same body.
Yeah, I think he's a little chubby guy. I think he's adorable. And if I'm going down the list of the Boogie Nights cast, what about John C. Reilly?
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say he's adorable in an ugly way, right? Mm-hmm.
I think for most of these guys, like, their personality is what makes them charismatic or, you know, handsome in a way.
What about
What about like Emma Stone?
Oh,
Tom.
Then we,
Tom.
We can't go there.
Tom.
I feel like when she's on TV, I'm very attracted to her. But if I saw her at like a restaurant, I wouldn't be like, Tom. Hey,
that is a fascinating thing, isn't it?
No, you're here, Jed.
Before you leave, Tom, can you talk about the FanDuel thing? The betting thing or no?
What about it?
I'm curious what it is. I don't even know what it is. What's their relationship, this partnership?
Oh, so the NBA used to own a stake of FanDuel, the daily fantasy site. And then when they decided to become a sports book, they divested their investment share of FanDuel because they didn't want to be considered a co-owner of a sports book as an NBA. So they divested their shares of FanDuel and then expanded, quote unquote, their relationship with FanDuel, the sports book. Yes. So while they're not co-owners anymore, I think they're getting a lot of money from FanDuel to use logos and betting lines. And
you know what else about that, Tom? You can go to FanDuel.com/B2B and play the Wednesday back-to-back challenge.
That's not why I said it. Oh, okay. Whatever happened with the hand thing with LeBron? Did you hear back from the league?
The league 100% wanted on the record, Tim Frank, the SVP of communications at the league office, wanted to be clear. The NBA had no knowledge that LeBron James had a significant hand injury after game one and found out that there was a significant hand injury for LeBron when the rest of the public did after game four, when he walked to the podium and had a cast on it. That is what the league has said. So as I point out in my story, it's kind of a blurry line when you have the team knowing, but the league does not. And the team was doing multiple MRIs on LeBron's hand.
Tom's gonna
cause some mayhem with this one. I'm just picturing various officials of the league office going down like the montage with House of the Rising Sun at the end of Casino is what I picture. I picture Tim Frank getting shot in Costa Rica. I just picture this all falling like dominoes. I'm just saying.
Wow, I may have to cut that, Ethan.
I'm just joking.
No, I'll just bleep out names and stuff.
I'm Holy joking. Love you, Tim.
By the rule of the league, which says you have to report injuries if it jeopardizes their status for the next game, the Cavs didn't do anything wrong. Because the Cavs say, hey, he was going to play no matter what. So there was no sense in us reporting an injury if he was 100% going to play. And so what people in the sports betting industry are wondering is whether they're going to kind of expand that rule to say, hey, it's not about whether you're going to be able to participate. It's also whether your performance is going to be affected, because that is going to affect lines. That's going to affect the spread. That's going to affect Ethan's ability to be really smart with his picks.
Yeah, it's frustrating that way. Frustrating, I will say. But thank you for the shout out to Strauss versus the House.
How's Strauss versus the House doing?
Oh, we're at 57%.
That's
really good.
That's good.
You know, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see where we end out with the first.
You took a bit of a dip for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like week three wasn't kind.
By the way, guys, I have a theory. Mm. You're not really gambling until you put money on something.
Well, you know what? I was going to ask.
Wait, what?
Your picks here's my theory is that your picks do not count.
That's how gambling works.
They don't count unless you put money on it.
I'm making picks. That is technically true. I am not gambling because I don't want to go down in that House of the Rising Sun montage at the end of Casino.
What I'm saying is I would love to, if there was an alternative universe where we could actually have Ethan with money do this and then Ethan without it, I would love to see the
I honestly, I react the same way. I mean, I've sports gambled before. I more or less react the same way, just because I don't know what's look, it depends on the amount of money, but of course, what is worse? Here's a question. What is worse, losing $20 and nobody knows about it, or losing a bunch of strangers hundreds of dollars and them telling you about it on Twitter? I don't know, but it's a conversation.
I don't care if strangers lose money.
Does the Athletic have like a slush fund or something?
We're about
they can,
to. I,
you
know,
what do you think they did that last series of funding for?
Yeah, so, I mean,
push the house, baby.
I don't know what the rules are, but we could theoretically do something like that. And I've asked the league office if I am not allowed to gamble, and they never got back to me on that. So
maybe you vote on awards.
So it's a yes.
I don't
plausible
vote on awards.
Deniability there, Ethan. You can go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I don't vote on awards. I would enjoy it. I like the idea of doing it. But I don't know. So what Zach was asking about, the reason it messes with your head is you don't know what you're in control of versus what's dumb luck. And I did really badly in the week I was traveling for the story I did. And I don't know if that's because I was exhausted and was doing slapdash picking, or if that was just the mean regression and I'm attributing some sort of skill to what happened. And you never know. And that's kind of what's fun to me, is this strange gray zone of, did I get lucky or was I smart? That's just never answered. And I think that's what's fun about it to me.
Yeah, no, that pretty much nails it. I mean, if you get everything right and you get everything wrong and you change nothing, like there's too many variables out there that aren't up to you at all.
I will say, I'm glad I didn't have money on the Brooklyn Memphis game. That is just always going to haunt me. I'm always going to be haunted by that. I think about that every day. I didn't even lose money on it. And I think about how Memphis at Brooklyn ended. And I think about it every day. It's just whenever I make my picks, or whenever I think to make my picks. I mean, I don't think there's been a worse beat in NBA history. I think it might be the worst beat in NBA in NBA gambling history.
Wait, what happened? Tell me.
Well, it was Brooklyn plus 2.5, and Brooklyn was up 7 with 32 seconds left in the game. Fuck.
That can't be the worst ever, though, honestly.
I mean, but then they got into a circumstance in the overtime, as it got pushed to overtime, because Jaren Jackson was fouled for no reason on a 3-pointer, 4-point play, and then hits a crazy off balance 3-pointer. I mean, not a great 3-point shooter to send it to overtime. And then the overtime, I can't remember how much time was left, but the Nets were then up again by 4, and the win probability was 96%, however much time was left. So basically it was 99% win probability, then 96% in the overtime, and they messed that one up again. And then in the second overtime, they finally lost, and lost by more than 2 points. I think they lost by 4. Look, you could maybe find a worse beat, but I doubt you could do it this season. That has to be the worst beat this season. It just has to be. And I was in person for it. And I looked at Vinnie Goodwill when the 3-pointer that the Nets made to go up by 7, I did a little fist pump. And I think that is what caused everything to go awry. As superstitious as that may be, I feel if I hadn't done that fist pump while looking at Vinnie Goodwill, I don't think that would have happened. Yeah, I think that's
good science. No, that's good science.
It's irrefutable. You can't prove it wrong.
That's true.
You can't prove it wrong. But, you know, that's, again, maybe if I had money on it, that would be worse. But for whatever, I still think about it. It connects to the same synapses. It feels pretty much the same. I think it feels the same anyway.
Jade, can you do me a favor and do a little edit, a little production value there? Is when you said it's not gambling unless you put money on the games, can you then cut in that famous sound from Trent Dilfer where he said,
"You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win." So,
can we go over the lines? Does anybody want to do some lines opinions?
I'm down. Sure.
Okay. So we've got this one. I stay away from
those.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh boy.
Oh god. Okay. Jade, you got Tom's
just
daughter.
Just making sure Maze knows what you're talking about.
Reckless, Jade.
This one I don't even want to touch, which is Cleveland at Indiana. Indiana minus 12.
Pacers. Man, they're good.
They're good. I just don't trust them to cover a double digit line. Even if the Cavs have denuded themselves of talent, I don't know. Does anybody have an opinion?
Ethan, hold on. So they beat the Knicks by 11. They beat the Sixers by 12. They beat the Bucks by 16. So they're right there. And then Cleveland, blown out by 23, lost by 12, beat the Knicks,
making lost compelling by case. 16.
Feels like a trap.
He's making a compelling case right there.
He's saying it's going to be right there.
It's Cleveland at Indiana. Minus 12, Indiana.
Indiana's going to cover.
Okay.
That Cleveland seems real bad.
Okay, then you have the Lakers at Brooklyn. Lakers on the road, minus 2.5. I think Tom once pointed out that the market inefficiency is home dogs, and this would fit that bill.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Lakers, and this is my issue. I mean, Nate said kind of pick them for second team in the West. What are they good at? I know people say LeBron. They have LeBron. Yes, they are clearly good at having LeBron on their team. But what is their thing? What are they really good at? I can't quite place that. Can anybody else place that? Like, what is their identity?
I mean, they're a good offensive team, right?
And they're not shooting threes.
Their defense the last month has been pretty good.
But what's their thing? Like, what do they expect? They're not even good at scoring when they push the ball. I just don't know. Maybe you don't need a thing. Maybe you can just
have LeBron. I don't think you necessarily need a thing.
Yeah, but it makes it hard.
Brooklyn's been hot though.
They have been. They're well coached.
D'Angelo Russell revenge.
Why does it make it hard to gamble for that reason?
Well, you kind of want to pick up on tendencies. I like to look at. Now I'm revealing how it's, you know, how the sausage is made. But I like looking at a situation. Let's say the Wizards are about to play a team that offensive rebounds really well. Well, the Wizards are lazy defensive rebounders, or they just don't have the size either, and they don't get a lot of defensive rebounds. So that would factor in, you know, more so than just the gap between those two teams, that the team that's offensive rebounding really well can put really press an advantage. Or so, if the Kings are going up against a bad transition defense, right, that's something that I would look for. But if a team doesn't really have major tendencies, then it's sort of hard to play that game when picking.
So here's maybe the key thing to look for here. Brooklyn Nets are sixth in free throw rate in the NBA this season. The Lakers are third in free throw rate allowed. So the Lakers thing defensively is they don't foul. And the Nets thing offensively is they shoot a lot of threes, but two, they get the free throw line a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's feeling a little stay away. I regret not picking the Wizards last game because I kind of almost expected an addition by subtraction post Oubre bump, because with Oubre, we're talking about what do they do well? What does Oubre do well? I just didn't think he was really helping them. And I felt like the line would indicate or reflect an absence, and that absence wouldn't actually hurt. And so I regret not picking the Wizards when they, you know, smacked up the Lakers.
Well, John Wall clearly hates Kelly Oubre.
Apparently that's what was holding Wall back, and it wasn't everything else. So I don't know. I might just stay away from all of these. So this one opened up at 4.5. Maybe there's some injury. Maybe it's because Otto Porter's not playing. It was minus 4.5 Washington at Atlanta. Now it is at minus 2.5 Washington at Atlanta.
You said this was a stay away?
You don't think this is a stay away?
The Hawks are only giving 3 points.
You think, okay, but it's you trust the Wizards, or are you going with the post Oubre bump? You know, is that what you're going with? Or I mean, is Ariza going to play is another thing.
I mean, I just think that if you get the worst team in the league has a 2.5 point line.
It's a good way to put
against
it.
Against any team.
Yeah, but I don't know.
That seems really low.
Stay away is so critical. In
guys, so we're breaking
news. It's not a gambling column if you just stay away from it.
No, but it is, because as a degenerate gambler as I once was, you think you can fucking win any game, right?
Yeah, Ariza will start in this game. So that's
so the idea of knowing when, you know, the bookies got it right is the ones you got to stay away. Just stay away. You got to find the game.
You
got
to take some pitches. You know, Jade and I are big baseball guys, as is Zach Harper. You got to spit on that one.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Breaking news, Harper.
What do we got?
Breaking news. This from official NBA refs, a verified account, in regards to James Harden's video.
Oh, no.
The offensive player gathers the ball while on his right foot. He then takes a step with his left foot, step one, into a hop step, landing first with his right foot, step two, and then illegally with his left foot, step three. We missed this one. It is a traveling violation.
I felt that was like three.
They're only counting three steps, which is fascinating. But
yeah, I felt like I was listening to Kevin Costner and JFK describe the magic bullet.
Where it waits 1.6 seconds, presumably in midair, where it turns right, then left, right, then left, and continues into Conley's body at the rear of his right armpit. Wound number three.
Yeah, that's the thing in the reviewing or even just watching the replay over and over again is determining when somebody picks up the ball. I think that's the most like subjective aspect of it because, you know, you dribble it and it's in your hand, but you're technically not carrying it until you cup it or it doesn't go back down or I don't know. Like, that's the part that's hardest to judge for me.
And that's what Harden is the best at.
Yeah, I mean, deceptively making it look like he's still dribbling while he's actually holding it.
Aren't there so many transgressions on the non-ball aspect of the game that happen all the time?
Sure,
I would say mostly because people don't actually know the rules.
Well, here's a question: Is so much carrying allowed that is obscured when the gather happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's fair. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the old, like people complain about the travel all the time. I think the carrying is the actual call that gets fully abused.
Right. Yes. I think half of hesitation dribbles are a carry by the book.
And not even like if you go by the book, just by like how it looks, right? Like there's a difference between like by the book and like aesthetically. And like sometimes I'm like, holy shit, that dude's hand is under the ball.
Yeah, I mean it's just like you can't if you start calling it every time, it's like you're undoing years of getting to this point. I don't know. It's not easy to be a ref. That's the main gist of it.
And James, and NBA refs James, are did, really yes. good.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than people give them credit for. Like if we're comparing them to refs in like college, then they're elite.
Right.
But college refs are horrendous. No, they're not perfect. But like they're worse now than they were a year or two ago. Like this season's been, I would say, not good in my opinion, comparing to the refs of years past. And I'm not someone who kills the ref. Like I think the refs mostly do a good job, but I think they're struggling this year.
I gotta say, this is just for the optics, and we're talking about gambling and everything else. I feel like after the Donaghy scandal, somebody should have just come to Kenny Maurer and said, "You got to just change your look. Like, we just need you to look 100%. a little bit less like a made man. You know, we need you to like maybe part it to the side. Yes. Maybe give like a sort of Ed Malloy
quaff. Buzz cut.
And then who's your guy, Monty McCutcheon, who dressed like a magician's assistant all the time?"
I think that's fine and that's cool, but Kenny Maurer with the dark slick back hair,
yes.
Yeah. I just love think that guy. Callahan looks like a Sopranos character as well. I just think you need to maybe just change the look is all I'm saying. If you want to have the public trust you more, I'm just giving advice.
All right, guys, I got to set up for radio.
All right, Harper. Hey, what was the last pick? What was our last pick?
Oh yeah, what's the last pick?
Dallas, Denver.
Yeah. Mavs, Nuggets, Denver favored by 4.5.
Ooh, opened at 5.
Denver should cover that. At home, they should cover.
That's an interesting one. I think people are saying that lacking Millsap. I'm guessing Millsap's not playing. Right.
He's done for a while.
A little under the radar thing.
Gary Harris out.
Mentioned by Dan Wyke in a column, I think, from this weekend, a little under the radar thing. Dallas, maybe shopping Dennis Smith Jr. a little bit.
I guess I'm not really surprised by that, I guess, is my response. Like he clearly has not delivered on expectations since last year.
So they got Luka.
For this one, I would want to see historically how is DeAndre done against Jokic and vice versa, and maybe check that out a little bit. The weird one, I don't want more people knowing about this. I'm going to mention this in the column. I think that I'm not sure if this is completely accurate, but at least when Jokic has played for Denver, they've beaten the Thunder the last six times. And they've probably not even been favored in them. I mean, at least the vast majority, if not all the games. That one's a little interesting to me. If that ever becomes a playoff series, that's interesting. It just keeps happening. The Thunder keep getting favored and they keep getting beaten.
I mean, they beat the Raptors twice too. So they're an interesting problem for other good teams. I think Jokic is just frustrating to guard for a lot of centers.
It's the flop factor.
Well, he's one of the few centers in the league that, you know, Draymond struggles with.
He's idiosyncratic. He does a different thing than these defenses are used to. And I think the Thunder isn't as great as their defense is with Westbrook falling asleep off the ball. It's not the best thing when going up against Jokic. And I don't know if in a playoff series it works the same way.
I think it's like, look, everyone's just going to paint me as the guy who doesn't like Jokic or whatever, but I think it's a lot easier to game plan in a seven-game series than a random night in the regular season.
So if everybody's
healthy, you can say that against most teams, but like, you don't think that Denver or that OKC defense can figure out how to slow down what Jokic does with Steven Adams in a seven-game series? Like, come on.
I think he would feast the Nuggets,
and then they would.
If everybody's healthy, I'm picking the Nuggets in that series, and I think that a lot of people are heavily going to favor the Thunder. And I don't know, but I think that would be an interesting one if it becomes a series because you're going to have.
If everyone's healthy, you're adding Andre Robertson to that defense.
Yeah, let's not.
You're also adding him to the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
perform pretty well.
I just that one. I know the Thunder will be favored, but it'll be an interesting one in that the Thunder will be favored, having just gotten brutalized in the matchups dating back a while. So hey, maybe it will never happen, but I hope it does. I want that matchup to happen.
I didn't know we were still doing regular season matters for the. Debunk that. But, I gotta go, guys.
All right. By the way, if you do want to check out Ethan's column, go to theathletic.com/back. The number two back, get 40% off. It's a great Christmas gift, yo. What happened to you, man? Did you fall asleep?
I'm still here.
All right. For Dave DeFore, for Zach Carper, for Ethan Strauss, for Anthony Mays, and for
Tom Haverstraw.
And for Tom, and for all the kids and the dogs.
And all the children and dogs.
probably won't see you next week because of Christmas. So happy Christmas. All right.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, there you go.
Peace.
Rather than admit to a conspiracy or investigate further, the Warren Commission chose to endorse the theory put forth by an ambitious junior counselor, Harlan Specter, one of the grossest lies ever forced on the American people. We've come to know it as the magic bullet theory.